I'd like to say it's an honor to be able to come up here and talk with you, speak with you about God's Word this evening. If you would like to, you can go ahead and turn over to 1 Kings. This evening, I want to speak with you about Solomon. Solomon is a very interesting person. There hasn't been anyone like him since Solomon. He had it all. There was no one with more wisdom. There was no one with more wealth. There was no one who was more well known than him. Solomon was a person that was very blessed by God. In his youth, he walked with God. We are told that in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 3, if you want to turn there. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 3. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David, except that he sacrificed and burned incense at the high places. And then in verse 5, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream and asked him a question. What shall I give you? Think about that for a moment. The Lord God asked Solomon, what shall I give you? Try to put yourself in Solomon's place, having that question asked to you. What would your answer be? God didn't put any requirements on it. There wasn't any stipulations. You know, there's so many things that are probably running through your mind. Definitely running through my mind. I mean, you could have asked for great wealth. You could have asked for long life. For a prosperous kingdom. To be able to prevail over any enemy, no matter how strong. To be known far and wide. Let's pick up in verse 6 and read there. And we'll see Solomon's response. And Solomon said, "You have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him. You have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" We'll continue in verse 10. The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Then God said to him, "Because you have asked this thing and have not asked long life for yourself, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you. And I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all of your days. So if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days." Then Solomon awoke, and indeed it had been a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, offered up burnt offerings, offered peace offerings, and made a feast for all his servants. Now let's go to 1 Kings chapter 4. Starting in verse 29, we'll get a picture of his wisdom. And God gave Solomon wisdom and exceedingly great understanding and largeness of heart like the sand on the seashore. Thus Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the men of the East and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezrahite, and Heman, Chalcol, and Darda, the sons of Mahal. And his fame was in all the surrounding nations. He spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. And he spoke of trees from the cedar tree of Lebanon, even to the hyssop that springs out of the wall. He spoke also of animals and birds, of creeping things and of fish, and men of all nations from all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. So we see that his wisdom, his knowledge, was just so vast and so great, greater than any man. Also, the Queen of Sheba was amazed by his wisdom. If you'll turn to chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 6. Then she said to the king, "It was a true report which I have heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. However, I did not believe the words until I came and saw with my own eyes, and indeed, the half was not told to me. Your wisdom and prosperity exceed the fame of which I heard." Solomon, he built the temple of the Lord. If you turn to 1 Kings chapter 8, starting in verse 14. Then the king turned around and blessed the whole assembly of Israel while all the assembly of Israel was standing. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who spoke with his mouth to my father David, and with his hand has fulfilled it, saying, 'Since the day I have brought my people Israel out of Egypt, I have chosen no city from any tribe of Israel in which to build a house, that my name might be there. But I chose David to be over my people Israel.' Now it was in the heart of my father David to build the temple for the name of the Lord God of Israel. But the Lord said to my father David, 'Whereas it was in your heart to build a temple for my name, you did well that it was in your heart. Nevertheless, you shall not build the temple, but your son, who will come from your body, he shall build the temple for my name.' So the Lord has fulfilled his word which he spoke, and I have fulfilled the position of my father David and sit on the throne of Israel as the Lord promised, and I have built the temple for the name of the Lord God of Israel. And there I have made a place for the ark, in which is the covenant of the Lord, which he made with our fathers when he brought them out of the land of Egypt." And let's go back to chapter 10, and we're going to read about Solomon's great wealth. We're going to start in verse 14. The weight of gold that came to Solomon yearly was 666 talents of gold. Besides that, from the traveling merchants, from the income of traders, from all the kings of Arabia, and from the governors of the country. And King Solomon made 200 large shields of hammered gold. 600 shekels of gold went into each shield. He also made 300 shields of hammered gold. 3 minas of gold went into each shield. The king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon. Moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory and overlaid it with pure gold. The throne had 6 steps, and the top of the throne was round at the back. There were armrests on either side of the place of the seat, and two lions stood beside the armrest. 12 lions stood there, one on each side of the 6 steps. Nothing like this had been made for any other kingdom. All King Solomon's drinking vessels were gold, and all the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were pure gold. Not one was silver, for this was accounted as nothing in the days of Solomon. For the king had merchant ships at sea with the fleet of Hiram. Once every 3 years the merchant ships came, bringing gold, silver, ivory, apes, and monkeys. So King Solomon surpassed all the kings of the earth in riches and wisdom. That amount of gold that they were talking about there, it amounted to about 25 tons. You know, Solomon had it all. He was close with God. He loved God. He followed what God said. He had great wealth. He was known far and wide for his wisdom, for his wealth, for his great kingdom. So what happened? God, he even appeared to Solomon a second time. If you go to chapter 9, starting in verse 2. Chapter 9, verse 2. That the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time as he had appeared to him at Gibeon. And the Lord said to him, I have heard your prayer and your supplication that you have made before me. I have consecrated this house which you have built to put my name there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. Now if you walk before me as your father David walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded you, and if you keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom over Israel forever, as I have promised David your father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man on the throne of Israel. But if you or your sons at all turn from following me and do not keep my commandments and my statutes which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel from the land which I have given them. And this house which I have consecrated for my name, I will cast out of my sight. Israel will be a proverb and a byword among all peoples. And as for this house which is exalted, everyone who passes by it will be astonished and will hiss and say, why has the Lord done thus to this land and to this house? Then they will answer, because they forsook the Lord their God, who brought their fathers out of the land of Egypt, and have embraced other gods, and worshipped them, and served them. Therefore the Lord has brought all this calamity on them. Solomon put his soul in danger because of all the foreign women that he loved and married. Because those women worshipped other gods, Solomon also worshipped those gods. I have a study Bible, and there's a lot of commentary in it, and it talked about how Solomon would worship these other gods of these foreign wives to gain favor in those kingdoms. So, like, political reasons was why, you know, this happened. But even if there were political reasons in what he was doing, we're also told it was out of his love for those wives. And it's because of that love that was Solomon's downfall. Turn over to chapter 11, verse 1. Chapter 11, verse 1. But King Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughters of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians and Hittites, from the nations of whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel, "You shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods." Solomon clung to these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. For it was so when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart after other gods. And his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, and was the heart of his, as was the heart of his father David. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and did not fully follow the Lord as did his father David. Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, on the hill that is east of Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the people of Ammon. And he did likewise for all his foreign wives, who burned incense and sacrificed to their gods, so that the Lord became angry with Solomon. Because Solomon turned his heart from God, as we just read there in part of verse 9, the Lord became angry. Let's continue verse 9. So the Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned from the Lord God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice. Also keep in mind that of what we read before I got up, the focus text. So not only has God warned Solomon twice, but his father David also was trying to impart some wisdom to him before he died, telling him that if you continue to serve God and do his will, then the kingdom will prosper and will last as the Lord has said. There will not cease to be a man on the throne if you do God's will. So he's had three different warnings. Verse 10 of chapter 11. So the Lord God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods, but he did not keep what the Lord had commanded. Therefore the Lord said to Solomon, "Because you have done this and have not kept my covenant and my statutes which I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom away from you and give it to your servant. Nevertheless, I will not do it in your days for the sake of your father David. I will tear it out of the hand of your son. However, I will not tear away the whole kingdom. I will give one tribe to your son for the sake of my servant David and for the sake of Jerusalem, which I have chosen." What can we learn from Solomon? One thing that we can learn from him is that we should follow his example when he asks God for wisdom. We should always be doing the same. Every time we pray to God, we should ask for wisdom. Turn over to James. Chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. And then Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? So let us ask for wisdom, for we will receive it. Part of Solomon's problem was he surrounded himself with so many people, his wives and concubines, who served other gods. He was surrounded by so many, so much so that he also started to serve those gods and build special things for those gods. That tells us that we should beware of who we surround ourselves with. If you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we'll read there. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. You know, Solomon, he started out strong. He loved God and kept his statutes. He was wise. His wisdom surpassed everybody. He was known far and wide. He had great fame. But there's just one problem. He did not finish his race. He did not finish it the way he should have. When he was old, he let his wives lead his heart astray after their gods. And as we read, the true God became angry. And he punished Solomon for it. That punishment was taking away the majority of the kingdom. Only holding back one tribe because of his servant David, Solomon's father. Turn over to Ecclesiastes for a moment. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. These are some wise words from Solomon. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, starting verse 1. I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure. But surely this also was vanity. I said of laughter, madness. And of mirth, What does it accomplish? I searched in my heart how to gratify my flesh with wine, while guiding my heart with wisdom, and how to lay hold on folly till I might see what was good for the sons of men to do under heaven all the days of their lives. I made my works great. I built myself houses and planted my vineyards, myself vineyards. I made myself gardens and orchards, and I planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made myself water pools from which to water the growing trees of the grove. I acquired male and female servants and had servants born in my house. Yes, I had greater possessions of herds and flocks than all who were in Jerusalem before me. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the special treasures of kings and of provinces. I acquired male and female singers, the delights of the sons of men, and musical instruments of all kinds. So I became great and excelled more than all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was my reward from all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had done, and on all the labor in which I had toiled. And indeed, all was vanity, and grasping for the wind, there was no profit under the sun. And then chapter 12. Verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Solomon's life, all the riches and the glory and fame. And then he knows he's going to have the kingdom ripped away from his family. What we have been studying here, this shows us just how important it is for us to finish our race of faith. Let's turn to one last scripture in 2 Timothy. 4. Starting in verse 7. Second Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing. If we want something to strive for, if we want something to aim for, let's use these verses right here, these two verses. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Let us strive to be able to say that at the end of our life, that we have done those things. And if we do that, we will also obtain that crown of righteousness. And I do want to offer an invitation at this time for anyone who has not been named a member of God's kingdom. The time is now to begin that part of your life. And what a glorious, glorious thing it is to become a member of God's kingdom. It's the best decision that anyone could ever make. To have your sins washed away, to be counted among God's children, And the time you have to do that is right now. We don't know how much time we're going to have on this earth. We're not guaranteed 1 second. And then to those of us who are Christians, if anyone is struggling, anyone needs the prayers of the congregation, the time is now. If you have a need, won't you come while we stand and sing?